Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We've painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
Ultimate Lunchbox is happening this morning, Kid Nation, about 20 minutes from now. We'll hook you up.
Kelly's especially pleased with the picture on the lunchbox.
I mean, I'll be honest. Yeah. The mind doesn't.
My best moment.
It doesn't look like me, but it kind of looks like me.
Robert, the producer, says I approved it, but I think what happened was I thought it was a done deal, and I was like, I'm not going to make you go back and redo it. Wasn't that what it was, JC?
Yeah, and that's what mine was.
I'm sort of, now Robert's like saying I approved it, but I'm sort of like, I don't think I approved it, but I was like, I'm not going to pitch. Maybe that's
photo approval. Very important.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. We sound like such divas right now. Let's just
stop. Photo they chose, yeah. I don't mind. It just doesn't look like me. And I was like, but I don't want to be a whoop-in.
Yeah,
it's already done.
It's
100% don't recognize that as you.
And it's what's on the inside that counts.
It's what's on the inside.
What's in there?
Right?
Tasty cake.
Tasty cake, Jenna.
Tasty cakes and a $250 Visa gift card.
Boom.
Awesome.
That's what's in there.
It doesn't smell like lunch kit yet.
Well, it's not been used for lunch.
You need to put a sandwich in it or something.
Yeah.
And sit for a couple
bologna.
Of days.
Love that deli meat bread combo smell.
I love that lunchbox smell.
What?
As long as it hadn't spoiled.
Yeah,
smell
yeah.
Like
if you
lunch.
Let that chill in there in the heat,
yeah,
it's ruined forever. It's like those protein shakers.
Oh, ugh.
It could be all done.
Hell.
All right, Kid Nation, it's time for Good News Tuesday.
I need some good news.
All right. It's when you call us with your good news.
Yeah, our phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-E-KID.
And I believe, Kelly, you have a letter.
I do, while we're waiting for the phone calls to come in, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Dear Kelly and the rest.
Of course, that's why you want to read it.
Oh, the end. Letter. She's funny. She's a longtime listener, obviously.
Uh-huh.
My fiance Scott and I wanted to send you guys a save the date to our upcoming wedding in December. We know you guys won't be able to make it, but we wanted to make sure to include you all as you have been a huge part of our lives.
Uh-huh.
Scott and I have listened to you for the better part of 15 years now, which at 28, you've been around for over half our lives.
Uh-huh.
And have taken you guys through our moves to Wisconsin and Colorado.
Wow.
So they follow us on the K-Pod.
Look at you.
Yeah. They said, we're very thankful we have been able to do so with the K-Pod. We think of you as family. We haven't had the opportunity to meet you, but we feel involved in your lives to the point that one time Scott and I were at the airport waiting for our flight, having a drink at the bar, talking about a story Big Al had told on the radio.
Thank you.
I don't remember the story, but it was sure to have been random. And the waitress asked about our friends, because whatever story we were talking about was hilarious. We were slightly embarrassed, but we said, oh, it's just some friends of ours in Dallas.
Oh, yeah. We are.
Thank you for the continued laughs and
That's
for taking
funny.
Us on everyone's journey through life, love, and happiness. It's been great to listen to everyone grow into the people you all are today. But most of all, thank you for carrying kids' legacy in such a beautiful way. He would be proud of all of you and your continued dedication to the show and Kids Kids. And that's from Melanie Martinez and Scott Sieber. She's the future
all
Mrs.
Right.
Sieber.
Let's send them a wedding gift.
Yeah, when is the wedding again?
December. It's a save the date, but the wedding's December 22nd in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, it's in, yeah. I kind of want to go out there.
Melanie and Scott. Isn't that
what?
Sweet?
What?
Nothing. We'll send them some edibles.
Well, no,
they can just get their own.
I heard Colorado Springs is beautiful.
I'm sure.
It looks like you want to go to a wedding. I'm like, no. There it gets in Colorado. I'm like,
Ears go up.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry? Colorado's beautiful.
It really is.
It is. I went
That's
to the Mac and Cheese Festival up there in Durango.
We all snowy
two or three
snow.
Years in a row.
My mom keeps saying, I want to go to Colorado. I think she's angling, obviously, if she keeps bringing it up. I want to go to Colorado, Jenna.
Take her.
Yeah, watch out for the altitude. Take you some altitude medicine.
Hey.
Go way up there in the mountains.
With all my monies?
Yeah. Yeah. When you get too high, your oxygen gets all weak.
Ooh,
yeah,
boy.
It's weird.
Yeah. Like seasickness.
Again, that phone number is 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK.
Got a couple here on the text.
Hey.
Good news from LaDonna.
Shout out.
Got all my money from Uncle Sam. Yes, now I have time to get my money now for my European trip in December.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You had to wait a long time for that tax refund.
Yeah, man. I guess you filed it. Don't you
file
do that
an
out?
Extension, yeah.
Did you file, you know?
Oh, no, yeah, it's coming up. Big deadline's coming up.
What, in October?
Just ever take care of it.
I think it's mid-September.
Why don't you just do it in April like the rest of us?
But the rest of us file extensions.
Yeah.
Well, you filed one too, Jenna?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I need to get on this
I'll
extension
thing. I get it done. No, I'd rather get it done
I'll
and
waiver.
Not worry about it.
Yeah. And sometimes the little things make you smile. From the text, the last 2 years, my daughter went to the principal's office the first day of school. Now she's in second grade this year, and yesterday, she didn't go to the principal's office.
Yay!
That's good news to this redhead. Congratulations.
Fiery little thing.
Yeah, sometimes you end up at the principal's office. Did you ever end up at the principal's office, Al?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I,
numerous times, or?
No, I probably left campus when I wasn't supposed to leave campus. Like, I had a car. And then one time, I'm embarrassed to say I did cheat on a test. I had the answers written on my hand.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't ask to come back to school that next year.
Oh, you got kicked out of school?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I finished the school year.
Yeah, but that's the first we've heard you got expelled.
But they have to accept you every year.
Yeah. You are unaccepted.
I was unaccepted.
That has to hurt.
Jenna, you went to the principal's office, didn't you?
I mean, I definitely got in trouble here and there. I didn't cheat or anything like that. I was just more... I did get into a fight with a teacher one day.
Whoa.
Because I was right about something and they were wrong.
Okay.
And it turns out I was right.
Oh.
But I was like arguing my point like an attorney. Of course I was. I was like, but I know this because I've read this book and I've already... And I just... They didn't like the attitude. But I'm like, but I was right.
I'm probably not going to have to ask Kelly this because she probably only went to the principal's office to give him cookies.
Twice.
One
for what?
To tell on other people.
Well, once... This is going to... I'll try to abbreviate it.
Yeah.
Once was, it was like the second day of school, and like me and Tommy Jean and Diana and one other girl in the class got called down to the office.
Diana that got all the boys?
Yes.
Yeah, Diana.
And the principal said that this girl named Tessa, she's leaving school because her mom said nobody talked to her. But he said, y'all just need to be friendlier. They moved to Florida. I don't think they pulled the daughter out of school and moved to Florida because nobody spoke to Tessa on the first day.
Okay, that was the one.
And when I left, I sobbed the whole way back to class. I was, and the other girls were comforting me, like, it's okay, Kelly. I'm like, I've never been called to the principal's office.
It's so scary.
Yeah. I was horrified. The second time was we only had 18 people in my class. And we all had class elections, like who's going to be the president, vice president,
somebody to be,
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And when the result came back for who was the president, we all looked at each other and were like, did you vote for him? I didn't vote for him. And we all knew we didn't vote for this guy. But the principal was trying to buck up this guy who was like going the wrong path. So he was going to make him the president of our class.
That's
and
right.
We were all livid. We're like, then why have an election? Just appoint a president. We all got called in the class. And
wow.
The class got called in the office for that. Ooh,
look at that.
Wow.
I would have sworn
and
you never went.
And the guy sitting there that was, she felt so bad, you know, because it's like, when you have 18 people, you can't tell us how we voted because we know who we wanted to be president. It was ugly. There's Kelly Raspberry leading the charge.
Oh, nice. Hacking in.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a democratic process.
Yeah. I went twice
as
well.
That's a long story, though.
Third grade, I went because my teacher and I was not responding to my teacher, and I went to the principal's office, and that's when they found out I didn't speak English.
Ooh.
So then they put me in ESL. It worked. Second time was in fifth grade because the girls started playing a game called Butt Pinch. So I played along. And then apparently you're not supposed
to. That game works.
You just, the girls were running up behind us and butt pinching. And then so you'd have to chase them and butt pinch them. And
it's
then
like tag, but with butt pinching.
Yeah, with butt pinching. And so that's not allowed.
No.
Yeah. You didn't know. You didn't know until you were told.
I was just playing along. I was just trying to make friends, man. And they would run up and go, butt pinch. Huh. And so we got sent to the principal's office.
Oh, I got sent. We set a girl on top of her Coke machine one time. Okay. Regina lost.
Oh, Regina.
Lost
yeah.
Don't That's be enough of our story.
All right.
Yeah.
Hi, Haley.
Hi.
Welcome to Good News Tuesday. What's yours?
After my son was born early and multiple hospital stays, and I had to quit my job, I decided to start school after 9 years and 7 years in the military. The school was so far out of the picture, but I actually got my first A. And that was through 2 hospital stays.
Yay!
You got your first
day! Nice job! Congratulations, girl.
Come on! Congratulations! See how that hard work pays off?
Right?
No matter what's going on, Haley still got that A. And speaking of college, from the text, it's taken me over 10 years, but I woke up this morning to an email telling me I'm approved to graduate.
Yay!
Yay.
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't matter how long it takes you, as long as you get there.
That's right.
You know, you got to do the Van Wilder route. That's fine.
Hey, doesn't matter.
10 years, 4 years, 3 years, doesn't matter.
Yep, get it done.
You still got the same certificate everybody else got. Hi, Sarah.
Hey.
Welcome.
So my news is that last night when we got home, our hot water heater had flooded the upstairs.
Oh, no.
But, no, the good news is my husband was still home. He didn't leave for his business trip until today. And so I didn't have to clean it up by myself. I didn't have to find the hot water cut off. I didn't have to do anything by myself. It was really exciting.
Look at you. Looking on the bright side.
That's making lemonade out of lemons right there.
That's what you got to do.
Looking on the bright side.
I didn't have to do anything. Our house flooded, but I didn't have to do a thing.
You have to do it by yourself.
Yeah. You always have to find a bright
spot. But I wouldn't have had it.
A negative time.
That reminds me. I need to get Alan to show me where to shut off the water. I wouldn't know.
Mine was, when we had to do it, mine was covered by the dirt. We couldn't find it.
No.
It's usually like,
yeah. That's going to be on my to-do list today.
Luckily, Francisco came over and he helped it out.
I don't know where the fuse box is. If we trip something, I don't even know.
Really? Maybe in your garage or your closet?
I'm sure it is somewhere.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I've been there since May, June.
Yeah, you've been there quite a while.
I better find out.
Yeah, I won't have to find that bad boy. Hi, Courtney.
Hi.
Welcome. What's your good news for us?
My good news was I did not have to pay $300 for an access code for my fourth year of college. My professor decided not to use it this year, and I did not have the money for it. I was so excited.
What a relief, huh?
In front of my class.
Woo! Blessing.
Hey, professors know we're broke. They want to help us out sometimes. Congratulations. Have a good year, Courtney. $300?
No joke, man.
No joke. Hi, Samantha.
Good morning.
So you have some awesome stuff going on in your life right now?
I do. On Wednesday, our egg donor goes in for retrieval.
Oh.
So they're going to retrieve
hopefully a bunch of them.
A bunch of eggs, and then you guys...
Put them in your basket?
Put them in your basket, and then hopefully a baby?
Yeah.
Wow. It's a very scientific way that we explain that.
Yeah, of course it is. That's how we roll right there.
Awesome. Yes, science!
Yeah. You want science class, you come on over to the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck,
Samantha.
Laugh.
Keep us posted, okay?
Of course. Thank you.
No, thank you for sharing.
In that case, you do put all of your eggs in one basket.
Is it appropriate to say to a pregnant woman, are you still cooking?
Yeah.
Like to grab the belly and be like, is it still cooking?
Unless she says, I'm not pregnant. And it's like,
oh, no.
It's still digesting. You know, that's what somebody would return with. So you want to always make sure they're pregnant. Because
I don't say anything, even if they look like they're about to go into labor.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I don't say anything.
Don't say a thing.
It's awkward.
I wait for them to say something.
So that baby comes out with a lunch kit.
Mm-hmm.
Say a thing.
If she's wearing even if she's wearing a shirt that says, I'm expecting.
Baby, arrow down. Yeah. Still, don't say nothing.
Still going to find out.
Nope.
From the text, my wife is done breastfeeding, which means she can be back on birth control. You know what I'm saying? Hashtag Good News Tuesday.
My man.
Oh, guys.
My man.
Yeah. Takes a while, man. But you got a beautiful baby. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, buddy. What's your good news for us?
First, I wanted to just say that I've grown up listening to y'all, and I love you guys so much. It's my first time being on the show, and I'm so excited right now.
Thank you, Zach.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
But I just started my last semester of college at Texas A&M student teaching at the middle school that I went to as a kid.
Oh, wow.
That is so cool.
Full circle.
So I get to teach with a lot of the teachers that taught me 10 years ago.
Wow.
Is it weird working with teachers that were teaching you?
You would think it would be, but it's not, because I was one of the kids that all the teachers loved, and so they all still love me.
Oh, that's congratulations, awesome, Zach. Have a blast, man.
Oh, man, now you get to hang out in the teacher's lounge.
Yeah. Right.
Ooh, you get to use the teacher bathroom.
They have a teacher's vending machine, I bet.
Lucky.
And a microwave.
Oh, they got a microwave and a coffee maker.
Crazy.
And this one came with pictures.
Okay.
It said, Good News Tuesday. The bear that broke into my car last week did not do any damage. And it definitely shows a black bear, probably about 5'3".
Wow.
Opening the door to their car.
Oh, my. Smart.
Got inside, looked around, no damage. But definitely pictures of the bear chilling, opening up the car.
Jeez.
Have you ever gotten on that internet spiral? The bears.
No, what's your favorite bear?
There's some good ones. I mean, it's scary, but there's some good ones from the home cameras. I mean, if you live, and it's not even just Colorado, but that's where a lot of them are.
Yeah, right.
Because the bears are coming, they're getting more aggressive and more, because they're hungry. You know, they're not able to find as much food. So they're coming in, they're just going in the fridge, and you'll see home cameras. and people are hiding upstairs, and the bear's just rummaging through the fridge looking for a snack.
That's why you gotta have a padlock on that thing. Right? When you live in those areas? Man, that's...
I love bears, but then I think about the Revenant.
Yeah, I don't want that.
And that scene's so hard.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Just one little affectionate bear touch.
A little too affectionate.
I don't need a bear. No.
I like them.
How big of a bear before you think the bear would win a fight, Big Al? I think I could take a bear that's about 5 foot tall.
Oh, my God.
No, dog.
5 foot.
Are you kidding?
You know, Trey, you just agree with that?
You know what? Their paws and talons.
Yeah, I know they got it, but a 5 foot bear, at least I think that's still basically a cub, right?
Might be the dumbest thing you've ever said.
Nah, man.
Nobody's. Yeah.
Oh, Trey, you said you could beat a wolf, didn't you?
No.
Which one did you say? What animal did you say you could beat up?
Maybe a fox.
A fox.
I'm thinking a turkey might be able to take me.
Can a trained human beat a grizzly bear in a hand-to-hand fight? Absolutely not.
Well, what about a five-foot one, though, a little one?
Okay, can man...
No, you want a baby bear?
Can man beat small bear?
Yeah, small bear.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah, those
you know what?
Things.
You should try. There's a place here, remember, where I took a listener whose dream it was to feed a bear.
Yeah.
And I went with her because I realized it was also a dream of mine. We weren't allowed to hug the bears, but we were allowed to feed them Fig Newtons.
Yeah.
You should go watch their paws.
Okay.
And just think about it.
Okay. Well, speaking of animals, Ethan Hawke, he'll be on the show in about an hour.
All right.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Back to school.
I'm going to school.
It's time for kids across the country to jump back on the bus.
Is that the Kid Nation school bus I hear?
It was indeed.
Of course it is. That means you pick up your phone and give us a call at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
If you're calling number 13, you will get a limited edition Kid Nation lunchbox, and that's filled with a $250 Visa gift card and delicious Tasty Cake products.
Thank you, Tasty Cake.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Good luck. Call number 13.
We're so Tasty Cake.
I know, right?
They normally send us some.
We're giving them Kid Nation.
Maybe I want a little Tasty Cake this
so
morning.
Small.
We'll get
so
some.
Small.
We'll get some. Real quick, before we get into the VMAs, I would like to take back what I said about bears.
I said
I could take on a 5 foot bear. And,
we just we're having a bear sure. delivered down here.
Kid Nation Good. Member sent me facts about black bears.
Shout out.
They average a height of 5.5 feet and weigh about 250 pounds.
And that's an adult
Shout
male.
Out.
That's an adult male. The female weighs 130 pounds and they're about 4.5 feet. And I still don't want to mess with her, I don't think, based on those talents. So, I take it back. I could take a cub on, though.
I pulled up.
Oh, okay.
I pulled up during the commercial break. I pulled up close and close call bear compilation
Jenna
video.
Jenna scared me.
JC was actually sitting there pointing out, I could take that one on. Not that one, but I got that one.
You got to be smart.
I'm like, get out of here.
I can take on the sick one.
Yeah. That one limping over there? I can take him.
Give me
the
run.
I don't want the ones that are
injured.
I don't want the agile ones. All right. The VMAs were last night. Mm-hmm. There was a little red carpet action beforehand. I think it was a pink carpet, actually, or something like that. But Camila Cabello was on the red carpet and said things are a lot better with the girls from Fifth Harmony.
People love drama, and people, like, thrive off of it. And so, you know, I've always been careful to not, like, I just don't like any beefs. I feel like we're in a really good place now, like, me and the girls. Like, I saw Normani recently at the Billboard Awards, and we just caught up, and I just, you know, I told her I'm, like, super excited for her. And I told her, I don't remember the last time I saw the other girls, but I told her to say the same thing to them. And I feel like there's just been enough time and distance away from the situation that I feel like we're all genuinely in a good place right now. And honestly, there's just no time in life for that stuff.
You
like,
know?
What's the point?
Camila,
she's good with Normani.
Camila wants no beef.
Well, tell the other girls I said the same thing, Normani.
Well, Normani was the song out, so they saw
tell
each
the
other.
Tell the other girls, because you're talking to them, and I'm not.
Yeah,
it is okay.
The other three. I can't remember their names, but tell the other three.
The only reason Normani and she are good is because Normani now has
a hit.
Yeah. The other girls, when they get a hit, then they'll be good with Camila. Mm-hmm. It's all about just competition among women.
Getting in the club.
You know, these two are getting paid. The other three are just sitting at the house
I love that. We're all good.
Yeah.
I told Normani to tell the other ones I said the same thing.
Can't remember last time I talked to him.
Sure. And Amber Rose had one of the most talked about red carpet looks of the night. It was a red leather leotard. It had a cat mask and to match, and she carried a whip. She explained why she wore this to the VMAs.
I'm intergalactic space slut tonight, and I'm here to promote my slut walk on October 6th, downtown L.A.
You're doing it in L.A.?
Yeah, I do it in L.A. every year. It's the 4th annual slut walk. and it's we do a protest against sexual violence, and I also help women feel very comfortable in their sexuality and not be, you know, not apologize for it.
Okay.
I like to be the sexy without the slut part.
I like what's behind the walk. I appreciate what they're going for. The name makes me feel awkward. That word is so strong of a word.
They're taking back ownership of the word or some nonsense. True. I don't know. You can be sexy without being slutty.
Either the women's power walk. That'd be pretty cool. But I like what they're doing.
Yeah.
I like what...
Good cause.
It's a good cause,
the message is muddied.
Yeah. But back to Camila Cabello and Fifth Harmony, because the show started. Tiffany Haddish was out there with Kevin Hart.
She did a good job. They did a good job, yeah.
There was a little struggle with the teleprompter.
Yeah, I think they were trying to wing it without following the script.
Everything,
and then it ends up
appeared to me to fall super flat.
Yeah.
But with everyone.
They've got a movie coming out together, so I guess that's why they were together.
Sure. Yeah. Night School.
Yeah.
And Kevin let us know about that. But Tiffany definitely went after Fifth Harmony last night at the VMAs.
Camila Cabello.
That's her reading the teleprompter, by the way.
Camila Cabello. Y'all know I can't read that good, right? I only speak English, and that's mostly in Ebonics. Look, she's nominated for 5 VMAs tonight. I'm super proud of her. So those of you watching at home, hi, Fifth Harmony.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, that was...
Oh.
That's funny. They're comedians. They're comedians.
I know they're comedians.
They gotta go somewhere.
Right, but Nicki Minaj can't take a joke.
No.
Well, ever.
Nicki Minaj came up there when she won her award, and she said, don't go after Normani because she's that...
Well, she hands Kevin Hart her purse, which is a...
Oh, boy.
That was rude.
That's what Kevin's there for.
No.
Support.
It was rude. She did that, like,
hilarious.
Hold my purse.
Oh, come on.
And then she looks at Tiffany and's like, nah, 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 nah. I'm like, I'm just over Nicki's bit.
That's Nicki.
I am.
All right.
Yeah. I'm just over Nicki.
But I'm just surprised you guys are saying this now. She's always been this way.
Yeah, no,
not
no
over it.
It's not like she changed.
No, she hasn't changed.
She goes away for a while, makes an album. She's always been this way. She did this the last time she was at the VMAs with Miley Cyrus. Remember?
And now I'm over it.
And Kevin Hart had some messages for all the rappers, all the young rappers that are coming up right now.
A lot of people here that I love tonight. We got Lil Pump. We got Lil Xan. These are also the reasons that your 12-year-old cousin wants a face tattoo. Stop writing on your damn face. Stop writing on your face. It's stupid. You're not going to get a job if this don't work out.
Thank you. But you notice they didn't cut back. Okay, when he was calling him out by name, they cut the cameras to those guys. Like, hey, he's talking about us. They didn't cut back after he slammed them.
No.
So we don't know their reactions to that.
Yeah, probably not a good one. Post Malone seemed like he was super happy, so he was probably fine.
I guess we can say he's made it at this point. I think it's fair to say.
Post, he had a good night. I love that guy.
Yeah.
But Cardi B, that's what we're all waiting for. What was she going to say after what Nicki Minaj said? Because Nicki said that just because someone has the power of their label being... helping them doesn't make them talented, referring to Cardi B. Well, Cardi B seemed to bring up why she won Best New Artist, and she had a message for Nicki.
I want to thank all my fans, my family that supported me, all the love that my fans, that my friends, that everybody shows me is genuine, is beautiful, and that's something that God give me that you can't buy.
Yeah, you can't buy that.
The label bought her.
The fans.
Yeah.
And you can't buy the fans.
You go, Cardi.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think the beef's also a little played up to get people talking about it.
Yeah.
Nicki's bringing it up, I think. And Cardi's...
Right.
For attention. When she went on the Instagram Live or whatever the other day, I think that was real emotion. It hit her, and she's...
Yeah.
Just had a baby. Emotions are high.
Right.
It was take a jab at Nicki night because Travis Scott got up there. And he took a little jab at Nicki. Nicki was complaining that she wasn't number one this week. And Travis Scott reminded her of that last night.
Rest in peace to Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Astro World number one right now. VMAs, make some noise!
Yeah. I don't know. He's number one right now.
Yeah.
In the world. More on the Aretha thing with Madonna during the Showbiz Top 5, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that was a mess.
That was a mess. But Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson were all over your screen last night. Pete was chewing gum the whole time.
Smacking
away.
And he's trying to give up smoking.
Is he? Oh, maybe nicotine gum or something?
Why,
that's right.
Why would you maybe. Be chewing gum?
But she won Best Pop Video, and she did thank her fiancé.
Thank you, Republic. Thank you, Scooter. Thank you, Rashad, my tour manager slash dad. I love you. Thank you to my family who's here today, and my friends, and everyone. I love you. Pete Davidson, thanks for existing. Love you.
Love you.
Thank you for existing. Oh, that's probably so cool.
Oh, yeah, your girl call you out like that on stage? Hey.
Yeah.
Like J-Lo did A-Rod? Hey, baby. Love you, Alex.
Gosh, yeah.
J-Lo did a medley of all her hits. Ja Rule was out there. I saw him in the audience. I was like, what's Ja Rule there?
Murder.
And it came out because J-Lo was out there getting the Vanguard Award. Yep. And she did thank Alex Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. And his kids and sister and everything. It was beautiful.
All the boos got thanked except Camilo's boo, our boy Matthew.
Maybe they're not shipped anymore.
What's up with that? Yeah, what's up? They're not shipping anymore? Interesting.
I don't know.
But yeah, VMAs were okay. Sorry. That's basically your recap. That way you don't have to watch all 3 hours of the show.
It'll be on for the next 2 or 3 months.
Exactly. So, yeah. We got you. But let's give away this ultimate lunchbox.
Back to school.
It is back to school.
Going to school.
It's time for kids across the country to jump back on the bus.
Julie.
Julie?
Hey, Julie.
I'm here.
Guess what?
Hello?
Guess what, Julie?
What?
You are the 13th caller, girlfriend.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Tell her what you want, Big Al.
A Kid Nation lunchbox, a limited edition Kid Nation lunchbox filled with a $250 Visa gift card and delicious Tasty Cake products. How about that?
It is awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And hold on for us. We'll get you all set up with that. And if you want to share that tasty cake with us, we're all good
with that.
Hey,
we would love one.
Yeah, we would love that. We got another one for you tomorrow morning. Make sure you're listening for the school bus to arrive. Be the 13th caller. We'll hook you up.
There you go.
And coming up next, we're going to hook you up with some tidbit news. How about them apples?
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
40 minutes away from our Ethan Hawke interview. Pretty cool. Yeah.
There you go.
He's got a cool movie that he directed called Blaze.
Pretty cool name.
But the best musician that never had that big break.
Yeah.
And so we'll chat with him about 40 minutes from now. We got your Showbiz Top 5 coming up. But right now,
it's time for Tidbit News.
Man, get yourself a woman that will have your back like this softball coach's wife.
Okay.
So there's a guy named Mark McCauley. He's the JV girls softball coach at a high school in Virginia. His team ended up losing a heartbreaker to another school, 6-5. The parents and stands were really upset with Mark. The other coach was really mad at him, too.
Why?
Even looked like he was ready to fight him. Some things go down in sports sometimes.
A bad coaching decision?
So while all this was going down, he's getting yelled at by the fans. The other coach is trying to fight him. Mark's 57-year-old wife, Debbie, she was at the game. She knew she had to take some of the heat off of her husband.
Spitfire.
Oh, yeah. So she ran up on the pitcher's mound right in the center of the field, dropped her pants, mooned the crowd.
Yeah, you did.
To distract them.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. And remember, this is at a high school with young children, so she ended up being charged with indecent exposure.
What?
Could have ended up with one of those signs on her yard. Luckily, looks like the charges are going to be dropped. Debbie wrote an apology.
With her pants.
She agreed to do community service. Looks like the charge won't go on her record. But all she was trying to do was distract people from getting on her husband. So she just showed the butt.
She was doing it as a comedic moment, or was she mad at the crowd and saying, kiss my booty?
I'm not sure, but I'm guessing she was just trying to get people to stop looking at her husband and scream at him and then just look at her butt. So sometimes you got to take drastic measures.
That's a woman supporting her man.
Right? You got to get yourself one of those wives right there.
Wow.
You got something for me, Big Al?
How about this? Woman dupes dozens of dudes into the weirdest Tinder date ever.
Yeah, this is crazy.
And looking at the size of the crowd by the pictures, it looks like over 100 guys showed up to Union Square for Tinder dates on Sunday. All of these guys to meet one woman. But, of course, they didn't know that they were one of hundreds of guys.
Yeah, buddy.
She wanted them to battle it out Hunger Games style.
Oh, my gosh.
She sent messages out to all these guys, come meet me at Union Square. She had a DJ set up.
Wow.
And she got up on stage, and the guys were like...
Oh, so she was there. She didn't just no-show.
No, she didn't no-show.
She had an event planned.
Yeah.
She was doing like a Bachelorette Hunger Games thing.
Right.
What is her ego?
One guy said, I make my way to Union Square. I eat a hot dog. I look over, and there's 100 guys.
Did they do it?
She must be super hot. Is there a picture of this girl?
Yeah, there is. There's a picture. Go to New York Post. That's where I see the picture.
NewYorkPost.com. In order to get 100 matches, you have to be appealing, right?
I don't know.
But what did she want them to do once they got there?
Battle it out, Kelly.
What does that mean? Fist?
Yeah. Last one standing.
Yeah.
Oh, get yourself to really brawl.
She started calling the different characteristics that she doesn't like. She actually did it as a publicity stunt for Tinder at the end of the day.
I was hoping they were just going to get sticks.
So she was a paid employee by Tinder?
It was a bit. She was doing a bit.
Yeah. But it worked.
It did work.
Well, but played. I would be mad
as the person
that swiped and was
upset.
Nobody likes looking like a fool.
Here's the thing. If you're going to be doing those apps, you're going to end up mad at least a couple times. So
Tinder's perpetuating it, when they're the ones that did it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Go on over to Bumble then. Bumble's
not doing
that.
They had a couple of plants out there to actually start fighting.
Oh, there's a lot of plants. It was at a park.
Oh. How about this one? North Carolina teacher reportedly reportedly suspended after pole dancing video surfaces.
Yeah. Take a listen to this.
That's how I stay in shape. That's how I feel like I can express myself and have time for myself. I've worked so hard to try to make sure I can provide for my daughters, for myself, for our livelihood, to have it jeopardized just for doing something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, she's just trying to teach people.
She wasn't stripping, she was a workout.
Pole dance instructor.
That's not fair.
But, you know, according to the contract that she signed, being a teacher, she's supposed to set a good example and a good role model, even when she's not on the clock.
She was wearing a thong and a bra in the video.
Really?
You know.
But so that's what you wear.
It is an exercise class.
Right.
No, you're not.
No, come on now.
I've taken one of those. You don't wear a thong.
It's okay. It's all good. It's just teaching.
Why are you talking like that?
Trying to teach your kids to stay off the pole.
Right.
And then you teach the teachers.
She's teaching the children to pole dance.
Other women, moms and stuff.
I'm so impressed, though, with how they do that.
Remember that when we saw up in California when we were up there? I mean, it was like, it was like something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't stripping at all.
I didn't go to that.
Very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't think that was just you alone.
Yeah, you went by yourself because we didn't go with you.
Maybe.
girls, if you're angry at your boyfriend or your husband, at least he didn't do this. Because a husband and a wife were sailing in Rhode Island.
Uh-oh.
And they were on their 39-foot sailboat.
Nice.
At some point, his wife fell overboard. Uh-oh. She managed to swim to an island, and the Coast Guard rescued her about 4 a.m. on Saturday. Why did it take him so long, though? Well, it's because her husband didn't realize she was gone. He thought she'd just gone below deck the whole time, and he didn't figure out she was missing until he stopped sailing around 2 a.m.
Man. Oh,
she had hypothermia
from
being in the water.
Wow.
She's mad about being stranded on the island.
I don't know where she is.
Was it just the two of them?
It was just the two of them. Don't you look for her?
Yeah,
but I mean, he might have thought she went to bed or whatever.
That was a failed attempted murder.
Oh, look at me giving the benefit of the doubt.
100% a failed attempted murder.
She fell
overboard. I don't know where she went.
She fell.
Well, she survived, so she can tell what happened, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. She said she fell off.
And there's another lady that fell off a cruise ship not so long ago, and was in the water for 10 hours.
Have you heard, you don't just fall off a cruise ship.
Yes. She was drunk, and then she fell.
She was mad at her boyfriend.
And then she did 10 hours.
10 hours treading water.
Yeah.
Man.
Made it.
Yeah.
10 hours.
Just
don't fall off.
I would just give up. I'd be like, oh, man, this sucks.
People fall off cruise ships all the time.
No, they don't.
They do. There are too many safety measures for you to fall off.
We always are reading about people falling off.
They are pushed or they jump.
I don't know about that.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Ethan Hawke. What's up, bro?
Hi.
We're going to put you over here.
Hi, Ethan.
Nice to meet you.
Now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
We got the greeting part. Does that part make you nervous?
Yeah.
Because you say we were nervous, and they're like, he seems to be in a good mood.
I am in. I got this movie. I'm coming to Texas to promote, and it was a pretty radical idea when you tell a movie producing company that you want to open it in Texas.
Yeah.
Because they always want to open it in New York or L.A. or
right.
One of the cities. And so I'm happy to be here because I'm doing it. It's my choice. Nobody's making me be
Texas
here.
Texas, some love.
This is
yeah.
home for you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
You were born here, right?
Yeah, I was born here. My mother lives in Fort Worth. My father lives in Dallas. Some of my best friends in the world live in Austin.
Right.
And so it means a lot to me. The movie's about Texas music.
Yeah.
You know, and for the people of Texas who care about music, their music is important to them, and I wanted to kiss that ring first, mm-hmm. you know?
We're talking about Blaze, of
yeah.
course, and man, this man lived one of those lives where he had so much potential, Ethan, and,
yeah.
and
it's sad. It's sad to watch this movie. I was left very heavy afterwards, but then I got in the YouTube rabbit hole. Where I wanted to find out more about him, which is, I think, the point.
Which is
you
the
want
point. Yeah.
you want people to discover this unknown artist.
You know, let's face it. You know, I've gotten to the age now where often I'm meeting like young actors and young people mm-hmm. interested in the arts, and they yeah. always want to know, like, for some advice and stuff. You know, the best advice is that if you could eradicate self sabotage, so many artists don't take care of themselves. You know?
Yeah.
And if you take care of yourself, your chances of making your dreams go up.
People exponentially,
think,
right?
Yeah, they think, oh, you know, this famous person got drunk and ruined their life, so I'll do it too. The drinking and that drug abuse or whatever it is doesn't make... They did some creative work despite that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could take care of yourself and figure that out, you could make... You could be Willie Nelson. You could make great art.
Yeah.
As long as you live.
Do you still believe that kids shouldn't get involved in the arts as early as they have? Because I read an interview where you talked about...
I just meant professionally.
Professionally?
Professionally. You know, you don't send a kid into a coal mine. You know, you don't... The workplace is not a great environment for young people.
That's what
you
it is.
You don't want to be paying your parents' bills. It screws up the dynamic in the family.
And yet there are parts for kids. You got to fill them.
It is a riddle.
Yeah.
It is a riddle, and some of the best, you know, one of the best experiences of my life was Boyhood with Eller Coltrane,
uh-huh.
this young man. But Eller had a safety net, which is that the movie wasn't coming out while we mm-hmm. did it. The acting part is wonderful for kids. Playing music, kids are great at it. You know, they're free of a lot of self-consciousness mm-hmm. that adults have. But the demon in the woods is, of course, the public self part, seeing yourself in the third person or having people come yeah. up to you in some weird, that's where the demon, because kids
can't really train you for that,
you
right?
You can't, and kids are trying to find out who they are,
yeah.
you know, and it's hard enough without other people telling you, looking yourself in the mirror 25,000 times in a row, you know,
right?
It's difficult, and that's why the casualty list of young actors is pretty high. You know, my first movie was The Explorers, and my first scene partner was River Phoenix, who
yep.
passed away dead on the street at 23.
Yeah.
You know, and my other way, Amanda Peterson, she passed away too, victim of severe drug abuse as well. You know, and so it's a real thing.
And and you talked about how the box office wasn't as strong as you had hoped, and at 14, you're sitting there thinking about that when you should be thinking about going outside and playing with your
exactly.
friends, you know?
I'm worried I let Paramount Pictures down. What do I care about Paramount Pictures?
Got money.
They got bigger fish to fry. What am I crying salty tears that I didn't make Paramount money? What the hell?
You're worried about your swing. You should have on play. Yeah, I understand.
We're chatting with Ethan Hawke. He's got an awesome movie out called Blaze, and it's about the best musician you've probably never heard of.
Yeah.
In the is that how you found him? Because he's in the
Austin
scene?
That's a nice way of saying it, man. It's the best musician you've probably never heard of.
Yeah.
It's true. I had this idea. His story is so powerful. Like you said, it ended in tragedy, but you know, it started, there's so much love there. I mean, he fell in love in a treehouse with this beautiful woman, Sybil Rosen, and at first, all the songs came out natural, like birds singing, you know?
Right.
Like just easy, water flowing, and then it's life that kind of beats us up sometimes,
yeah.
you know? And I thought, what a beautiful story if I could get that, and I'm making a musical. If I make the Johnny Cash story, the Ray Charles story, for example, there's all this great music, but I heard Ray sing that song.
Right.
I heard Johnny sing that song. And so no matter how well you sing it, you don't sing it as well as they did it, but you've never heard Blaze Foley's music. It's a wonderful opportunity to make a movie, a love story, and simultaneously introduce you, like you did. You did exactly
sure.
the same.
Yeah.
We live in a great era. You can go down, you can Google Blaze Foley. And
there he is.
And you can hear him singing at a bar in Austin in 1988, you know, a couple weeks before he was killed. You know, you can get that stuff, and you can have the experience that I did, which is you hear this guy singing these beautiful songs, and people in the background are going, "Yeah, two Lone Stars to table two." You know, did somebody turn up the game?
Right.
You know, and you hear this guy going, just taking a deep breath. this next song I really believe in. Could you play some Skinner? You know,
I feel like most of us want to do what he did.
It's true.
When he calls them out every time. Yeah. I feel like I would be too worse of a person.
I mean, you've done so much live like theater work and things like that when people heckle or
it
just
is
rude.
A funny experience. I remember once I was doing a play with Kevin Kline. My character, actually, I was killed. We're doing a Shakespeare play, right? And my character just got killed, as Shakespeare characters are off to do. And Kevin Kline had this huge monologue. He's standing above my dead body, right? And he's giving a monologue. And in somebody's cell phone, with, you know, just the most annoying, was, I think it might have been Back in Black.
Right.
You know? And it's so loud. You know, characters are dying on stage, and all of a sudden some, you know, Back in Black starts cranking out. And I remember Kevin went, aha, is that the chimes at midnight?
You know, well played.
And the whole audience burst out laughing, including me. I was supposed to be dead under all my armor, and my chest is heaving, and I'm trying to, like, you know, so.
But you've seen actors go off on stage in the
down,
audience.
Right?
You can take
I've seen that, too.
That's hilarious.
Too.
And you're wearing your Gibson guitar. Are you a big guitar player? Like, you shred a lot?
I have been playing the guitar hardcore for 25 years, and I still stink.
Oh. What do you mean you still stink?
Oh, I love it.
Hit a guitar,
I love it. But,
I don't know if it's tuned, but.
And I love it. It brings me a lot of joy, but I've also spent a lot of time with real musicians. Lightning Hopkins, I am not.
Who's your favorite person you played guitar with? Because I'm sure being Ethan Hawke, you can get into those rooms.
Yeah,
with. Have you played with Willie Nelson?
I've watched Willie record a song live. Yeah.
Really?
That was a pretty incredible experience. Yeah.
Did you get high just being in the room with him?
Yeah.
I can say that secondhand.
It's not hard to do. Yeah.
Has Willie seen Blaze?
I don't know. No, he hasn't.
He's apparently really influenced by Blaze, right?
Well, Willie and Merle covered If I Could Only Fly, which is one of Blaze's best songs, and was one of the things that kept Blaze going for a long time, because he if you're a country songwriter, that's the dream.
Yeah.
Right? Willie Merle covered your song.
And
in a music magazine, Merle said once, that's the best country song I've heard in 15 years. And Blaze had that cut out and kept in his guitar case, and just would, you know, it kept him alive for a while.
Man, it's such a good movie.
Is that what you gravitate towards now? Just when you want to write or when you're looking for a project, just real stories that you can sink your teeth into with the real people?
I guess, you know, somewhere along the way, I became a professional actor. I mean, it's how I pay my children's dental bills. It's how I rent when the wall has a leak in my kitchen and I have to knock the whole thing out and fix it. Acting pays for that, right? So that's a job for me that I still love it in the same way, but it's imbued with a lot of responsibility. I have to do that, or that keeps the engine of my life going. So every now and then I get the chance to write or direct, and that's a place where I can just try to hear my own heart and do something that I want to do just for nothing back. Mm-hmm. You know?
Are you an actor that can watch his old movies? Like, if Dead Poets Society is on TV, will you watch a little bit of it to remember it? Or do you like, ugh?
You know, if I see a piece from Training Day or something, it does. That, you know, 4 months or so was one of the most electric time periods of my life. I was with a great, great artist at a very amazing moment in his career.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were driving through South Central Compton, that script was amazing. And you know, in baseball, they say, you know, if you catch the seam on the ball, you know, the ball. I was watching, Denzel caught the seam on that character. You know, he was in it all day long. And it was, for me as a student of acting, I was just turned 30, and I was really ready to take the next level. I needed to take the next level. So to get to spend that kind of time with an artist at that kind of level, what it does is it shows you what's possible.
Right.
Until you touch what's possible. You know, when you see it close up, you see what it looks like. You see what that kind of dedication looks like. It does show you, like, oh, that's how you sail from New York to England. There is, I get it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it shows you something that's possible that wasn't possible in your mind before.
Because you take all the acting classes you want to take, but once you get into that scenario where you're learning from the best.
He's had an amazing life.
Yeah.
And it's a big responsibility that he has. He carries a large weight that
All the black people.
Well, well, let me tell you something. You joke, but here's the thing.
No,
that's
true.
He does. He's a leading man who has succeeded at a very high level where, you know, if you're a leading man, it's different than being a comedian or rapper. It means white people, Asian people, people from all are relating to you.
Yeah.
They are seeing themselves as you. And that's a kind of spiritual breakthrough, right? And the in my experience, rolling with him, the African-American community really respects him.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a huge weight to carry. I've been acting 30 years. I don't carry the weight of being a role model.
The white people are counting on you.
Yeah. Nobody comes up to me. They don't come up to me and say, hey, white dude, would you come talk to my grandma?
It's understood.
There's a lot of pressure on you.
I looked up your Wikipedia, Ethan Hawke, and it said reps white people.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
but he has that.
He's carrying three times the weight. You know, I mean, I remember somebody saying to him, "Well, he should speak for himself." But he was playing a bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people didn't want him to play a bad guy. You know, and he would go, "Why does Gene Hackman get to be a bad guy? Why does Al Pacino get to be a bad guy?" You know, I'm a role model because I'm a hell of a nice guy or because I'm a good artist? What is it? Because if you don't let me be an artist,
right?
You know, then all's lost. So don't clip my wings just so I can sell your cereal. You know, I mean,
right, I'm gonna write that down.
Like, yeah.
Don't clip my wings.
You will never have a chance.
I really don't want
to.
I'm not speaking for the man. He didn't say that, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah,
what
I
it's like.
What
I got to witness that, and it was a great, great, great learning experience. Antoine Fuqua was our director, and he was our director in Magnificent Seven too. And it was one of them. Those two experiences were just awesome.
Well, Ethan Hawke, we do a segment called Does That Make Me Crazy here on the show. And do you have any quirky things you do that you would like to share with our audience? Like,
I guess
for
normal
instance,
to you, but other people might think that's like, a little crazy.
I walk around in hotel rooms or hotels.
Yeah.
Don't tell that.
I don't care. Ethan and I are friends now. I think we're in a spot where I could tell him things like this and he won't judge me. And if he does, we're fine. But when I walk through hotels, if I see food on the floor,
you want to eat it.
Yeah, like
that's disgusting.
Yeah,
disgusting.
That makes me crazy.
Ethan has money; he doesn't have to do that.
I don't want it to be wasted because how could you throw away all the fries?
Leftover food from room service, and he'll eat their French fries.
Isn't that nasty?
That's how long that's been.
That's been there for a minute.
I don't support this message.
No. You do anything of the sort.
Here's the thing, of course, but I cannot. As I'm sitting here
talking,
I can't think of for the life of me why I would want to share that on the radio.
You know,
it makes you more relatable, does it?
No, obviously I'm not relatable because nobody does what I do.
Well, one of the things, my problem really is that when I make love, it's really important to me to be the best lover the world has ever seen.
Oh,
and a lot of women think that's crazy. Why are you working so hard?
Yeah.
And I think, because I love you. You know? And I guess that makes me weird, you know?
Yeah.
How's that?
Taking notes on that.
That's a great compliment, Al. Yeah.
That's what you got to take notes on.
Take that tip.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to get through it. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, never mind. This is going on.
That's why your marble drawer is empty.
This is just going a whole different direction. But I'm glad that I got the saying, don't clip my cereal so I can sell your chicken wings.
Don't clip my wings so I can sell your cereal. That's what I said.
How did you get that wrong?
Man. This is fake news. Sad.
Before you leave, Cowboy fan?
Well, I grew up a huge Cowboy fan. I got Drew Pearson, Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach. These are the people that made my childhood. I swear, every student picture I have, you know, I'd always get it done in my Cowboy shirt. And I don't know. I've been watching. My heart is. Have you guys followed, like, what an amazing announcer Tony Romo has become?
Yes.
Like, the world's greatest now. He's like, they're going to run this play now. And you're like, it's so cool to see a guy announcing so close to his playing days because he knows all the players.
Yeah.
So, but he's my favorite Cowboy right at the moment.
Okay.
Oh.
Tony Romo.
Still digging Romo.
No, I like Dak. I love these guys. They're great.
Yeah.
No, I there's a lot of pressure on them in this town.
Yeah.
And
I'm born and raised.
I'm feeling the NFL has pissed me off over the last year, and so I feel this time period we're living in is so weird. It's so I can't even enjoy watching an NFL game. We've all been so divided by things, and now I feel that somehow as a community, we really need to remember that we're so much more united than we are divided, and it makes me insane to watch our tiny little differences exacerbated and turn into pain.
Yeah.
And So we need it's to do hard for me to enjoy it at the moment.
We need to do more listening, less talking.
Yeah,
we
I feel for the players, man.
Yeah, yeah. I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Well, go Ethan, Cowboys. Come on back and watch the football game. Go Cowboys. And go Romo. Everybody, give it up for Ethan Hawk, man. Thanks for coming, dude.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.